Everybody shut up. I said shut up. Now, are you ready to play the game?
No.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Pelicans Podcast.
Yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
All
rep, no physical. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dome Patrol United Pelicans Podcast. I am Jeff. I'll be hosting this episode, and joining me on this one is Jason and Scott. First question is, does anybody have a number that they need to share?
I do not. Just got home from work. No number. Drank a lot yesterday.
All right.
No number as of yet, but once I get my pizza, I might be getting
some. Oh, maybe we should wait.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've made myself a little drink here. So I guess someone has got a drink on these episodes. That's what we're known for. Anyway, let's see. This one, what are we doing? Pelicans talk on this?
That's correct. That's correct.
Is it the Pelican Perch?
Sure.
It's like Jeff's third one today.
I know. I feel like I'm in the studio just kind of like rolling, jerking at it. What is like when the national celebrity has
oh,
to
right, just pimping,
you're listening
yeah.
to such and such on local station Fox 28 or something, you know? All right, so yes, Pelicans Perch. Jason, you taking lead on this one.
So we are sitting here. It is the All-Star break. This past weekend was the All-Star game in Chicago, along with all the festivities. A few Pelicans participated in the Rising Stars game on Friday, and Alexander Walker and Melly playing for the international team and Zion playing for the American team. I didn't get to watch a ton of it. I was at a Mardi Gras parade. But apparently Zion did dunk so hard that he bent the backboard.
Wow.
One of the goals. So,
did he dunk hard, or was it just his weight from not letting go?
All of it?
Okay.
But I didn't catch a lot of the game, but apparently at one point they were just feeding it to him and just letting Zion basically just dunk just to kind of wow the crowd. So I did think that was interesting. Saturday night.
He missed a couple too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hard dunks
yeah.
that he missed. That would have been pretty sweet.
So then Saturday night, you had the skills challenge, 3-point. In the dunk contest, apparently the dunk contest was very exciting, but once again, Aaron Gordon appeared to get robbed by the judges here. Again, I didn't watch a ton of it. I forget what I was watching, but that was pretty exciting. Then you had the actual game itself, which turned out to be really exciting. They changed some of the rules. So the fourth quarter, the players actually – I don't know exactly.
Well, what did you like about the change?
Well, I didn't watch the game.
All right.
But apparently other people liked it because the players actually cared. It looked like they wanted to play instead of just everybody loafing down the court. I believe the winner of the team also got to give money to their chosen charity. So they kind of had a little something to play for.
Okay.
Brandon Ingram didn't play a ton. I think he just had one basket. But I know he was coming off a rolled ankle. He had missed his last few games heading into the break. But at least he got to be an all-star, experience it. But so now we're sitting here. This is the official break. There won't be another game NBA-wise until Thursday. So even though it's not the midway point of the season games-wise, it is kind of like the unofficial, you know, midway break mm-hmm. of the season.
So first half of the season takeaways.
Well, it sucked not having Zion for that long stretch. Obviously, the 13-game losing streak really, really put us behind the eight ball. But towards the end of the first half, when Zion came back, you know, you saw flashes here and there. It is a young team. They do appear to be getting better in areas. And really, the main takeaway here is that Zion is as good, if not better, than advertised, which is crazy to think.
I think once it came back, it kind of got exciting again. You know, people started watching more. We started playing a little better. Kind of just makes you wish that he'd have been there from the beginning.
That you even see spark from the other players. Like they're playing a little bit extra hard or something. Which leads me to a question I did want to ask you, Jason. I mean, so I don't watch any other basketball other than the Pelicans, so I don't know the answer to this, but it feels to me like when I watch the Pelicans game, we are a very passy team. we pass a lot and we pass fast. And we're moving the ball is constantly like pew, 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 pew. Is that different than normal? Because I don't see the teams that we play against doing that. And I wonder if that's part of what makes us unique.
Not to the extent – I know the one thing Gentry pushed for when he got here is he wants to be the fastest team in the league. He wants to move because, you know, you move the ball around. You move up and down the floor. You create extra possessions. The problem with this is that while we pass a lot, we are sloppy passers. We are in the bottom of the league in terms of turnovers.
Kind of like you're trusting the other guy to be there.
Per game, or just – but even – sometimes it even seems it's just a lack of focus. There's even just a lazy, like, you know, just the, not – they don't always think when they pass, and they make stupid passes.
I see that. Yeah, I see
that. And sometimes they – I feel like they want to pass too much. A lot of times guys drive to the lane, and they're literally right at the basket, and then they pass it all the way back out to the three-point line. I'm like,
right.
You're 5 feet from the basket.
But,
put it
but
up.
That's the play drawn up, right? I mean –
It's what they're being taught in practice from their coaches, just consistently pass. Now, whether that's a good thing or bad, sometimes it works. But
again, you're saying he sees it, he's got it. But what if he doesn't feel it? I mean, you feel the shot as you're going up, and he knows he's not going to make it, so he makes a last-minute decision to pass it back out. Sometimes it looks like they're auditioning for the Harlem Globetrotters. It's not just pass, like a straightforward pass. I mean, you got behind the back passes, you got over the shoulder passes, you got no look passes. I mean, it's entertaining to watch when it works.
It's entertaining, but it's not necessarily sustainable for winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these aren't smart passes. I mean, they'll try to cram it in between somebody's legs, and like, of course, it's going to be turned over. That was a stupid pass, you know.
They're just kind of running by the seat of their pants. They're not really like, you know, it's kind of like the run and gun kind of offense. You know, they're not thinking, you know, they're just kind of like, ooh, I see a flash of somebody, so I'm going to throw it to them kind of right. thing.
Now, while they're talented enough to pull that off against bad teams, that's not going to work against good, fundamentally sound teams. And that's where some frustration creeps in, at least on my part, because I just be a little bit smarter. And there's some of these games where
you don't have to do that.
I mean, when we lost to Oklahoma City the other night, you know, it was a close game for the most part. Like, they were up big, but then we came back and kind of made it close. But it was a 17-7 turnover differential, you know? Like, that's why we lost the game, you know? Turn it over seven fewer times, and there's a good chance we actually pull out the game. And I just see that too much, and it does get a little frustrating because I know they're young. There is a lot of talent on the team.
And that comes from the ball bouncing around like a pinball. You're creating more opportunities for the turnover. Because
right,
the ball's
right.
in the air more between players than it is up to the basket.
I mean, you are by pushing it fast, you are creating more possessions for yourself overall, but then the turnovers just kind of give it right back and negates that. So
yeah, but all right, so is there a difference between passing it around during the 25 seconds that you're over on the side that you want to be on? Versus playing fast. And I think those are two different, like playing fast, meaning get over there before the ball gets over. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a difference. Passing fast versus playing fast are two different things.
That is one thing that they, you know, once they get a rebound, Gentry's the, let's just push the ball up the floor because you got a lot of young guys, a lot of athletic guys with a lot of energy, push it up the floor and
right.
hopefully
Take
do something
advantage of that,
before,
right.
before the defense is set and can handle, especially with Zion
right.
now. Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, it can work. It's just that they just make a lot of frustrating yeah. passes yeah. sometimes.
But the key is you've got to get those like, rebounds. And isn't that another one of our pain points?
One of the weaknesses because we're a very guard-heavy team. We don't have a lot of size. You know, we got Favors, we got Melly, we got Jackson Hayes, and we got Zion, and then we got a bunch of guards.
But I think – so that going into – so the point that you made about them wanting to hurry up and get to the side of the court after the shot, after you get the rebound, I feel like I noticed, yes, a shot is taken. Half the team – if not, you know, three or four of them are already heading over there to get there, leaving only one or two guys to make to get the rebound.
Right.
And
That's
so
correct.
You're basically giving the rebound to the other team. And now of course the other team's going to make the rebound shot because three of your players are on the other side of the damn court.
That's also been an issue since Gentry's been here.
Okay, so I, who have only just recently started watching basketball, have seen this and figured this out. Surely someone like Gentry and the coaching staff, who are paid millions of dollars, should recognize this.
I mean, they might recognize it, but that's just his style. I mean, that's just what he wants to do. And it's frustrating. And that's why fans are frustrated and think, you know, we need a change. Because, you know, obviously you have the talent there now. So you can't really say we don't have it, because we do.
We do have the talent.
To an extent.
Right. Like, we have the talent, but they're still learning. I mean, they're, you know, they will make mistakes because they're young.
Yeah. I mean, the talent
while they're young,
is really exciting to watch. This team is, like, you can see each individual player is – I don't feel like we have any true weak links. You know, like, even – like, when we had CP3 or even Anthony Davis, it was kind of like one guy, maybe two or three guys carrying the team. Now, I feel like you got eight guys that are all legitimate. Like, even during the rotations, you don't feel like there's a drop-off in talent.
We really have more. We definitely have a lot more depth on this team than we've had in the past. That's for sure. Yeah. That's for sure.
And, you know, I think while they're young, you need to get another coach in there that can teach them a winning way to play.
And you don't want them to learn bad habits and get stuck with bad habits, you know.
Like running away from a shot.
You know, they're young now. You don't want them to get frustrated and leave, too. You know, you want to keep that nucleus here. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
I think the way – Gentry's doing it, it's gonna run some people off if they're not winning.
I mean, the good news is you have Zion here, and I think Zion will keep up. You know, a lot of guys have seen what he's been able to do in just 10 games and are like, holy shit, I want to play with this guy. So at least they can see it there, and we do have a lot of control over a lot of these young guys now, so I don't think a lot of them are going to go anywhere.
Is there a chance that Zion can actually win MVP by playing half a season, or is it pretty much
no
way to do it?
No, it's going to be Giannis.
Okay.
I don't know that you know who that is, but
– yeah, he plays for Memphis.
Milwaukee.
I think more so, what about Milwaukee? Like a Rookie of the Year?
That's an interesting question, Rookie of the Year.
Wait, what did I say? I said Rookie
You said Memphis.
You said MVP. You said MVP.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Rookie of the Year. I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's okay. A lot of people are talking about that. Some
basketball player of the day.
Some people seem to think that no matter what, he's missed too much time. But, I mean, if he continues to go out and put up 27, 30 points a game in limited – I mean, that's the thing. He's still doing this with limited minutes. I feel like that would be hard. Like, let's say he averages 28 points a game and the Pels can crash and get the 8 seed. I know he only played half a season, but shit, that to me, that would just carry a lot of weight. So
you, yeah, okay. I mean, that was what my original question was meant to be.
Right, but he's still in Rookie of the Year.
He is still in play.
I think it's still in play.
But it's got to be
as well.
Electric.
Which, I mean, from everything we've seen.
I mean, right, every game he does some a few things, you know, electric. There's a lot of hype behind him. So
I mean, if he gets the ball in the paint, it's over. Like, you just might as well give up. Like, he throws that shoulder in, and he's scoring. And, I mean, they put two guys on him. They tried hacking him. I mean, he is so powerful.
That's where his weight comes in to be a benefit. And what, do you want him to lose weight in order to be a better player? Or you want to keep him tick-tick?
Maybe a little bit, but not much. Because, I mean, even at his size, he's so quick. You know, if
right now, but that doesn't last long. I mean,
in five or six years, if he wants to drop a little weight, that's fine. But for now, yeah, I would, keep him here. Maybe drop 5 pounds, but I wouldn't have him lose much more.
I mean, he's only what, 19?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, that speed's going to be there for a little while.
Yeah, and it's just,
at least till he hits 21 and can start drinking.
And it happened the other night.
I had a little five.
He went right at Steven Adams, a big center for Oklahoma City. Adams, he could not guard him. He could not stop him. So no matter what you put a smaller player on him, he's going to go right over him, and he's got the quick burst to get by the big guys. And now he's really – you could tell he's been working on his free throws. He was really good from the free throw line the other night. I think maybe like 11 or 13 from the free throw line. So if he's going to start making free throws, it's going to be a lot harder to just hack him. You know, I mean, that's 3 points given up. If you want to do it, go for it, because now he's going to make them. So we're sitting here. There's 27 games left, and we're five and a half games behind Memphis. The good news is we have a lot of games against the teams that are in our way. I mean, we start off with Portland on Friday. We still got a couple of games with the Spurs, a couple of games with Memphis. We have, I think maybe, I want to say, third or fourth easiest schedule remaining in the league. So the opportunity is there. Now, they're going to have to go on a nice winning streak if they want to get there, but it is possible. You know, they can curb on some of these turnovers. And just kind of focus a little bit. I think it's definitely possible that they can get the 8 seed. And I got to tell you, you can be damn well be sure that the NBA is praying that the Pels get the 8 seed because they would love to see a Lakers-Pelicans first round series.
Officiating is going to be in our favor then?
I mean, as much as it,
I feel
like
it would be.
Yeah. As much as I've seen and I've thought officiating has stunk for the Pelicans for their entire existence here. Now that you've got this, and how exciting that – because usually the first-round playoff series, most of them are all duds. You might get one or two good ones. But, I mean, a Lakers-Pelicans series would get a ton of eyeballs for the networks. So I'm sure that's what they're all hoping for.
Yeah,
so
and maybe. That'll be our – and we'll be one and – you know, we'll be one and done. And
we could be a little frisky. Who knows?
You going to beat the Lakers?
I'm not saying we're – I'm just saying we might be a little frisky. We might win a couple games.
Okay.
Who knows?
All right. We're fighting to hopefully get the 8 spot.
We are.
And you think we're going to beat the Lakers?
We're an Anthony Davis injury away from.
Which is very likely.
Right. Which is likely. So the only issue with that is, you know, if they do make a run, make the playoffs, it probably guarantees Gentry will keep his job next year. So.
You know. But you got to think, too, you know, playing the Lakers. I mean, if you look at how many players we have that weren't on the Lakers, maybe that's a little added motivation for them.
There's a lot of motivation. And look, if Zion keeps doing this, you know, I mean, are they going to have LeBron guard Zion? Who are they going to put on Zion? You know, we're going to find out. They play the Lakers Sunday, March 1st. So that'll be interesting to see since Zion didn't play the first go around. That's kind of where we stand. I mean, I'm excited for the second half. I'm just excited to see more Zion because he's just been amazing to watch. And the arena has been more full since he's been around. Now they just started coming out with the ticket renewals for next year. And apparently they're going up on a lot of tickets and some fans aren't real pleased with it.
However, Courtney replied to the Bird rights on an article about that, saying that the least expensive price point went up to $610 cost, which was about the price of those same seats 5 years ago. A benefits card was added to take the place of the beer garden, and the sports world is going paperless. Pelicans were among the remaining few teams to even offer paper tickets.
Oh, yeah, it's going to cost extra to get paper tickets.
Yeah, but again, the sports world is going paperless. Pels were among the remaining few teams to even offer paperless. I mean, the Pelicans are just catching up to the rest of the world. I mean, this is one of the – you know, there's a lot of things to love about New Orleans and their cling to – their heritage and the past and the legacy and the ancestry and the whatever. You know, you can't even fix a building because, oh, we don't want to mess up the old architecture and stuff like that. But the negative of that is that you don't progress with the rest of the world. And case in point, going paperless. Yeah, it should cost you more money to get a paper ticket because it costs money to print that damn ticket where when we went, Jason, we bought our tickets online, scanned the phone, and got in. Guess what? It was a better experience than having to worry about if I left the damn ticket in the car. Who wants a paper ticket? Who are the people that want a paper ticket? And those people should be slapped. I don't know.
I kind of like my paper tickets.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
I mean, it's nice if you go to a game where it's like a history-making game.
Like Zion's debut.
Put it in your Google Photo Drive. You're never going to – what are you going to look at it? Ooh, look at this piece
frame
of paper.
Frame it. You can frame it.
Print it. You print it. Don't make the – basically, you print it or you will pay the team to print it. You got to pay for their ink.
I'm just answering your question, Jeff.
All right.
Now,
who wants it? I'm telling you who would want it.
Now, I will say even with the price increases, I'm sure our tickets are some of the least expensive in the league. That being said, okay, I get it. If the team's successful, has a few years, you want to raise your prices, I'm fine with that. But to me, considering we're now just starting out this era, it's more important for me, if the tickets are a little cheaper, to get the building full. Like, to get the building full, to create an atmosphere that people want to be a part of. And if you're going to shut some of these people off, I mean, you know,
Courtney's point is the least expensive price point. Ooh, what's all that static I'm hearing?
It's not me.
The least expensive price point went up to $610
per ticket,
which is about the price of the same seats 5 years ago. So that means they went down from 5 years ago.
Yeah, because we stunk.
And they're just coming back to what they were. I mean, everybody's acting like they're price gouging.
Well, because not. the jump from this year to next year, it is a little start. You know, it's a significant jump. Just you see that, oh shit, my tickets went up 90%. It's gonna be like, damn, I'm getting fucked here.
Is it really like 90%, or is it a couple bucks?
No, for some people, it's not an insignificant jump.
That's like I was paying $600, now I'm paying $1,200.
For some people, yeah. Well, like I think people were paying like $395 and now it's $600. So that's going up 60%, 70%. It's not insignificant. That's why, like, I don't mind the price increase, but to go up so much in 1 year, I think it's just going to give people this shock of the big price. I mean, mine are going up from mine this year were like $2,600 or $2,700 to $3,300. For the pair, for both.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
You know, so I mean,
it's a big jump, yeah.
It's about 25% maybe.
And it's because Zion's in the building?
It is, but, like, you know, is this price increase going to result in a drop in attendance next year? That's the question. I want to, you know.
So that's the season ticket, which means that the trickle-down effect is that even like a casual –
even on a secondary market,
game,
right, it'll be up. It'll be
the
up.
The tickets are going to be up. Then, yeah, it will. You will, especially because they're – I mean, again, you got to fight to make – if you don't make the – it may be premature to do this.
That's why I think, make the playoffs first, get the excitement going, then this price increase isn't so bad right. Because, hey, we're a playoff team, but – like, if they don't make the playoffs here, yes, there's a lot of excitement for the team next year, but, you know, we haven't proven anything. You know, you're really going to – like, I could get it if we just had a phenomenal year this year and we're, like, the four seed. Like, okay, that's fine. I'll pay for it. I like the direction we're going. I do like the direction we're going, but for some of these people down here, I just think it's asking a lot. I would have waited another year to do a jump like this, but, mm-hmm. You know, because right. I want the building to be full – because that's how you build real
right. But that, what they're banking on is that it will be – people are going to be willing to pay that much.
If the team wins, you know, more than likely, hopefully people will show up anyway.
But will they?
Yeah, I don't know.
In New Orleans? I mean, in any other city maybe, but in New Orleans?
In terms of – yeah. I mean, I've
– I don't know. I mean, Saints are still king. I mean, and they always will be in that city. And – It's a tall order to go that or you kind of need to creep up.
Right.
I wonder what went into their justification, how they convinced themselves that doubling the price of ticket, or, you know,
Ching.
Short of doubling the price Ching. Of tickets would be a good idea, and versus this year let's go up 25%, next year let's go up 25%, you know, let's do 25% over the next 4 years,
right?
Incrementally,
and then at that point, if what we think we have a super successful franchise, then
right.
at that
you,
point
hopefully you, by you, then you've had to make the playoffs 3 years in a row,
right? You've got a lot of momentum, you've enticed people to come and watch a winner, so now you have them in the building, now you know they'll be willing to pay a little more to watch it. I just think they jumped the gun a little bit on this one.
Maybe they'll drop the price of concessions and kind of balance it.
Sorry, I can't even say that with a straight face.
For those of you not watching, Jason,
what do we look like, Atlanta? So I mean, look, I'm still going to renew. You know, now that Zion, I do think at least the franchise appears to actually have a direction now. So I am excited, and Zion's fucking amazing.
All right, And that's it. That's what you got.
That's all we got.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And, of course, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Zion donkeys.
Good night, Hell's Nation.
The radio. I think I hear my dad yelling at the band. But good things come to those who wait, 'cause she laid me. And mom and dad.